helper to come on forward. I'll grab the mic. Does anybody, you got warned earlier, is that already on? Oh, beautiful. So, how's God taught you, led you? In a, like I said, it might not be Bible school or seminary in particular, right? Some of our partners are, even a YWAM team or another ministry team is an extended time of serving God and learning from Him, learning from others. MB Mission is kind of our organizational partner. It's now called Multiply with C2C, our church planting, but that's just information. But there's lots of ways that God has taught us and led us. Does anybody have anything they want to share right now? We've been impacted. We even have some teachers of Bible colleges here. This church started a Bible school here in town years ago. Many of you were impacted through that.
Well, a couple of memories I have of Bible school, and that's quite a few years ago. But one class in particular I remember was the Gospels. And so we did comparing the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And one of our assignments was to memorize John 1, 1 to 14, which still sticks in my mind, and when it's read and stuff, it comes back really easily to me. So, anyways, that was one memory. I really did enjoy that class, discussing together with other students. Another memory I have is there was a really neat group of leaders, student leaders, and we led worship, and I got to be a part of a team, and that was also a really neat experience. I really enjoyed that.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, Bible memory. I remember one class I was in where he said we could do less papers if we would memorize more. And so I chose to memorize more, and that's had huge impact on my life. Whole chunks of 1 Peter, and it still comes back to me. And when we memorize Scripture, right, we get God's Word into us, then He has an opportunity to work through it. Really powerful. And sometimes we need somebody to say that. We're not disciplined enough, like Darren talking about this morning, that, oh, this would be good for me. How do I develop that in my life? But once we've tasted it, sometimes it's easier to develop it as a habit later on as well. Great. Somebody else? On their experiences? Sure.
So during my grade 9, I went through a really rebellious time. And at close to the end of grade 9, my mom kind of sat me down and she said, you know, I think that you need to go to a different high school next year. And she gave me two choices. I don't know how she managed to get me to go where she really wanted me to go. But I ended up going to Prairie High School in Three Hills for grade 10 and 11. And it was the best place for me, where I really, my faith became my own, and it really has shaped me, and I have never forgotten that time at all. Like, there were struggles, of course, because you're dealing with grade 10 and 11 girls, right? But ultimately, it was a really good, a good time for me to grow.
Excellent. That's a common testimony of, you know, either Bible school, Bible college, is that impact of it, right? It's a place to grow and take hold of our faith, right? We kind of, well, I'm doing this because my parents tell me to, and kind of living under that shadow. When do we grab hold of it as ours? Yeah. Good. Others. There we go. There.
So I am at SAIT right now in Calgary taking the dental assisting program, but I just finished 3 years of Bible school at Miller in Saskatchewan, and I have found that being at SAIT, it is a completely different experience than being at Bible school, but it's been so cool to see how having that Bible school experience has been such a good foundation to come into a more secular school, and God has given me so many opportunities to make friends with people and to have conversations with them, and it's been so cool to see how they've shown interest in, like, coming with me to the young adults group that I've joined and maybe coming to church with me, and it's just been a really, really cool experience to see that, and having Bible school knowledge before that has given me more boldness. God has given me boldness to share more about Him with them, and it's just been really, really cool. And God has also given me my young adults group there in Calgary, and they've been such an encouragement to me, and they're prayer supporters, and I have prayer supporters back from Bible school and back here at home, and that's been such an encouragement, and it's just been so cool to see how God works through all of our experiences.
Excellent. Thanks for that. You use the word foundation. Absolutely. Christian, being educated Christianly is a foundation for all of life, right? Some training is just for career, but then we change career, and it's valuable, but it's not to the same degree that biblical education is foundational for all of life. And awesome. Celebrate it. Connecting in a local fellowship. A lot of students go away to college and then they go, well, I won't really connect with the church that much. I'm busy with school. But it's a resource. It's a support. We need each other. God says, don't forget to keep meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. He says that for our good. Awesome. Way to go. Oh, that's excellent. Someone else? Oh, here it is.
I think that
just
is it. I think that I am one of the most privileged people around because of the many years I was able to go to school, and then also the years I spent at Bethany, and then as pastor here. I think the thing that it impacted me the most was individual teachers who became my model and my inspiration when it came to ministry. And I was going through all the yearbooks I had, and again, I was overwhelmed by the people that impacted my life so that I could serve the Lord better.
Amen. Awesome. It's a privilege. And yes, I too, I can name several of people who became mentors in my life and models. Excellent. Celebrate what God's done in their lives and through their lives. Good. Someone else?
So I've become a teacher at the college, and I like to tell my students that I've had 26 years of education, and that counts kindergarten, of course. But out of those 26, there was 3 years of Bible school, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time there, and I learned an awful lot. But one of the things that I've been thinking about is what Darren was alluding to, is lifelong learning. We can go to Bible school, and that gives us the tools to keep learning. And I'm 51, just like you. And I'm still learning stuff today, and I find myself going back to what I learned in Bible school on how to handle different things, where to go with that kind of thing, and continue learning.
Yeah, awesome. We've committed as Mennonite brethren pastors to be lifelong learners. And we're never done. But it's interesting how we do come back to those foundational years. And wow, that's still impacting me out here, and it's impacting me out here. And it's awesome. Excellent. Someone else? All right, well, we'll take a little break. I'll give you another little short opportunity. You can just sit down for a minute. Oh, okay, sorry. Excellent, right up here. I don't want to miss you.
Well, I'm not even done high school yet, but I was able to go on a missions trip this past summer and like to Vancouver, and although it was only for 1 week, it was probably the most eye-opening experience I've had in my life so far. We just worked with a lot of homeless people, and just to hear how God works in their lives, even if they have such terrible lives, it sounds like, but God works in such amazing ways, it seems like, so that's cool.
Excellent. I'm glad you mentioned that, right? It's a week. And we did that. Beverly and I did that for 5.5 years leading short-term teams with Venture Teams International, partnering with long-term missionaries. But incredible opportunities to disciple the team members for as long as they were with us. And they're in a different culture, different setting. It opens us up to learning differently, and those will be lifelong impact as well. Excellent. Glad you brought that up. Now you can sit down for a minute, a couple minutes. Tristan, I do want to go through a couple things. I'm going to read through our passage, Ephesians 4. It talks about equipping. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Do you know what category you fit into? Like I said, we need to get better as a church. We should all know some of how God, where our gifting, our how God's equipped us. And he gives those to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. That's not excluding women, just the way that it's Scripture is written primarily in that language, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, right? Those transitional, those growing years, maturing, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning. Boy, is that going on in our culture right now? By craftiness and deceitful schemes. How do we stand? How do we walk, not turning to the left or the right? But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I mean, we can be hard and fast on rules. We can do a lot of things, but we cannot be Christ-like when we're disconnected from Him or disconnected from the body. And it's a journey. It's a process transformed by the renewing of our minds. We learn things, and we learn how to apply it. And that happens in relationship with God and relationship with each other. This equip, it's mentioned in for equip, to equip the saints and those who are equipped later on. But this word equip, it's a verb. It's active. It's to supply the items needed for a particular purpose. Equip them. Give them what they need. And what an incredible place in a place of Christian higher education where you have people that are on journey themselves but are farther down that journey speaking into our lives, giving what we need for a particular purpose. And a second one there is to prepare someone mentally for a situation or task. It's not just, here's the right stuff. It's discovering who that person is. That's why We want to know our spiritual gifts and passions and how God uniquely wants to work through us. And we discover that over time. And taking some intentional time to do that is powerful. Another bit on equip there. To make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something. To cause them to be fully qualified. Right? Ultimately, God does that, but he works through other people, and he's put teachers in place, mission team leaders, whatever else. We're all on journey, and he works through those. Make them completely qualified for every good deed, as 2 Timothy 3:17 says, right? That's the Word of God prepares us. But it's our engagement with the Word of God, the written Word, being the living Word, and we live it out as we are transformed by it. Everyone who is thoroughly qualified will be like his teacher. Who are you choosing to sit yourself under? Some of us listen to a lot of music. You realize a lot of that's getting into our minds and our hearts. We're giving that person a position as a teacher. It can be powerful to choose this group of teachers for a season of life to really speak into our lives, godly leaders. So I met with Ron Tate some years ago. He used to work for the Canadian Conference of Mennonite Brethren in Leaders to Learners. Trying to put things in place, ongoing training for both pastors and lay people. And he's done some study on this word equip, and he pointed out to me that this, much like the first two definitions, there's this two-pronged thing. One is being prepared, giving you what you need, but are we even in a place where we can accept it, right? Can we hear what we need? And it's preparing in all sorts of ways. There's also this sense of being repaired. And it's a similar word used back in the book of Nehemiah when they were taking the walls that had been broken down and they needed to rebuild them. What needs to happen with all the dried mortar and whatever else, right? There's some stuff to clear up. Chisel off some old mortar so that we can replace that brick in there. And it's a both end. Christian higher education is a place where that can happen. Most of my master's studies in counseling. And one of the key things, one of the reasons I chose the seminary I did to be trained in, was because every single session is either video or audio taped. Horrible way to learn. Who wants to listen to their own voice, right? We all sound different outside our own heads. My voice sounds funny. You notice what kind of idiosyncrasies you have. You notice if you scratch your head, you know, watching the video later. Terrible way to learn, but a really good way to learn. Because you learn some of your idiosyncrasies and what's actually helpful when you're meeting with people and what you're not. And you're counseled by fellow classmates. And we've all got stuff to work through, right? We need people to journey with us. Someone to lovingly point out where we're not aligned with God, encourage us where we are aligned with God. Scripture's full of encouragement kind of language and words and exhortation. And a lot of that needs to go on. Right? He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints. So he gives us things that are valuable, necessary for the body to be who we are called to be, and it happens in those relationships. What if we were more intentional about putting ourselves in those relationships, not only in our church, but those times away at school, missions trips, things like that? I just want to go through one more thing here, if we can jump forward a couple of slides to where it says Bible schools and seminaries. These are our partners that we've chosen as a church. These aren't ones that were necessarily in our budget. Actually, none of them are right now. I don't know if they have been in the past, but there's individuals that support some of these. And they're just listed alphabetically there. But if we can jump the next slide there. think that's the same list. We'll go to the next one. And these are, I see these on a continuum. These are intentional that we have different partners. These ones are kind of pre-approved. If you attend one of these, you're eligible for a $400 semester, per semester. We support you in gaining that Christian foundation. And I would say the Cape and Ray and YWAMs are kind of more of a discipleship. We could have added MB Mission, or now it's called Multiply. Short-term mission trips or longer-term mission trips are more about discipling who you are than they are academic. Then as it moves, have get the Miller, the Peace River Bible, and Thrive would be more discipleship-oriented programs as well, not as academic. Prairie and Briarcrest getting a little more academic. You can come away with a bachelor degree and stuff. Columbia pushes that envelope, has a more offerings of courses and programs, areas of, where you can specialize and study. And then you get into the university level, Ambrose University, that's a university that came together, that's the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and Nazarene denominations that came together and started Ambrose University. Students from all sorts of denominations attend there, but their foundation is very good theologically. And Trinity Western University, likewise. And then I didn't even restate our seminaries, ACTS, Consortium Seminary, and our MB Seminary. These are just continuums. And so some people may, you know what, I want foundational training for life. So I'm going on a YWAM or a Cape and Ray, or foundational training, but more intentional diving into the Bible and having a mentor in school like Miller and Peace River, etc. And then as this scale moves over, right, you can come out with a bachelor's degree. Hey, I believe God's gifted me and given me a passion in this. I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever else. And you can start moving towards, you can try and do some of both. Be trained in what you're preparing the future for, your career, and do it from a Christian worldview, because it's at the foundational, the philosophical level where it can really undermine people's faith and their discipleship. They're living like Jesus in the world because it's already undermined. I can give you examples if you want. I was trained. There's stuff out there that's called Christian counseling that is not biblical counseling. It's not Christian counseling because there's something that's decidedly, absolutely unbiblical in the foundation of it. And how to discern that can be incredibly important. So the missions team is open to pray with you and look at this of where should I go? What would be a great foundation for me? Here's what God's doing in my life and how I think He's calling and wants me to become equipped to live for Him. And I've already mentioned it on the next slide. We have a Christian Higher Education Fund. And that's $400 a semester. These ones are kind of, we know these schools. We know where they're at. You can apply to one outside this, and then somebody needs to do the research, make sure it's on track biblically and et cetera. But you can be eligible for that as well. And why? Well, we already heard some of the why. Because of the lifelong impact. And if we're disciples of Jesus and we want to learn how to live for Him, not just live for ourselves or live as society tells us, but to be prepared, repaired, transformed, fully equipped for what He's called us to do. If we go to the next slide, I have a thought there. Never underestimate the value of being equipped in discipleship and in a Christian worldview. It's invaluable. It's, you know, we say, wow, the cost of the education or whatever else, it's incredibly important. Absolutely incredibly important. Like I say, we got to get better as a church, making disciples, equipping people, teaching people Christianly, right? Christian education, how to think Christianly about hard topics, how to live that way in our society. And don't underestimate it. So, anybody have any stories come up that you want to share briefly before we have our, before we close our service? Dive in there. There you go, Mr. Irv.
Well, I think back to Bible school, I went a year and a half, and when Lillian talked about memorizing, whenever I, the first two chapters of James, I memorized that in Bible school, and I don't know how I ever did that, all my memory is nowadays, but every time I read those passages, I'm reminded of that I memorized that in Bible school. That was the one thing that came to my mind, but when you talked about equipping, I still remember a certain time when we were in Bible school. I was on the hockey team, and we were invited to go play at the Prince Albert Penitentiary. And we accepted that invitation, and as we went, it was quite a freaky experience walking through the penitentiary and going through and hearing the doors clang behind you. And for some of you who don't know, the penitentiary is a maximum security. Obviously, we didn't play against the maximum security prisoners. We played against the minimum security. But we're in the middle of this penitentiary playing against these guys. And it was a neat experience. I still remember we won in overtime, 10-9, and I scored the overtime goal. And I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. afterwards, we had a time to just visit and congregate. And, of course, most of us guys were shy guys, and we stuck to our own little group. But I had to think when you talked about equipping and how that, just that the schooling and this opportunity to play against the prisoners and stuff equipped me for later on in life, because I taught Sunday school for a few years. I helped with Boys Club, I remember, for about 10, 12 years right after Bible school. And I know it was just in our own community, and it's in a comfortable setting of in our church, but then in the last few years we had the soccer camp, and all these little different situations equipped me to reach out to the kids, especially in our community here, and I attributed that a lot back to going to Bible school.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Irv. Yeah, it's stuff that we'll use for life. It's equipping to live and serve Him, right? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. If we've quit serving, we're out of the will of God. And yeah, and He's equipped you over time, right? But that laid that foundation. Awesome. Somebody else? Story? Word of impact?
I had the privilege of attending Bethany for 2 years, too, and that was a long time ago, before the iPhone, put it that way. So, I certainly didn't have the highest grade point average, and if I could do it over again, I would certainly apply myself more, but I think from learning how to do life away from, you know, that transition from living in a fairly sheltered community and stuff and being kind of on your own, that set a foundation for me socially. Those are I have such fond memories of my Bible school years just from that aspect. And that was at that time too when I really fell in love with music and kind of took it to the next level for me. And if it hadn't been for Bible school, I don't think that really shaped who I was. So those were transformative years for me. Great memories.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Gary. Yeah, it impacts every area of life, and then sometimes specific areas of life really blossom during those years. Yeah, there's more stories I could share too, but I won't. But is there anybody else?
When I was in Bible college, my brother never came right out and said it, but I got the impression that maybe someday she'll grow up and go to a real school. But I can't imagine my life any different now. Just the things that I've learned, like Gary said, about learning to do life. I would have never gotten into drama like I have. I would never have been able to teach the way I do and enjoy the things that I enjoy doing some of the things that aren't a career. It's life. And that's, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's who I am. This is who God has created me to be. And I really felt like that started at Bible college and discovering who this is that God has created me to be.
Excellent. Great words.
I too went to Bible school, and it definitely provided me with answers. Because I remember when I was in nursing school and the girls would sit down and say, "So, what do you believe?" And there was 10 of them sitting there asking me questions. But it did provide that. But that's a long time ago. That's over 30 years ago already. And I find I am far more hungry for learning about God's word now than I was 30 some years ago when I went to Bible school. And that's kind of exciting, that God's word is real. And I wish that everybody wanted to know more. And one of the key things for me was when I watched Ray Vanderland for the first time in about 1994, his very first video. In fact, I showed it to the boys just the other night. This idea that scripture can become alive in by understanding more about the Holy Land and where the places were. So I love watching Ray Vanderland because he makes scripture alive, and then I learn it, and sometimes I have to watch it many times in order to learn it. But I think that the learning is important, that it's ongoing and not just that it happened 30-some years ago.
Absolutely. Definitely needs to be ongoing. And that hunger. Do we realize how easily we can be given to deceit, right? The end of this passage. Be deceived and turned aside from God's good and pleasing and perfect will. And that hunger, do we have a hunger? Something came up on my phone this morning, and Zach and I looked at it for a minute, and a picture of the Filipino church flooded. But it's full of people. Everybody's sitting in the pews. And the caption there said, the church in the Philippines is flooded, but they have such a hunger for the word of God and to meet together. They're there. Do you have that kind of hunger? Are we still learning? Yeah, great words. All right, what's the last word before I pray and I close the service? You've been waiting, you've been sweating. Should I say something? Should I not? All right, well, I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you lead us and guide us. I am incredibly grateful. Much like Rudy, it's an incredible privilege to have gone to Bible school, Bible college, seminary, been involved in missions for so many years, and get to pastor. These things push me in a direction that you've created me to live out. And I pray we would be attentive to your spirit, willing to take time, weeks, months, years to discover and learn and grow, that we might be fully equipped to be your body, God, and to play our role in your body, being further equipped. Lord, lead us and guide us for your glory and for the expansion of your kingdom. Amen.